We are back. We want to thank once again. We've had some great guests so far. What do you think, Joe?
Oh, they've been pretty good.
Well, it'll only get better. Just one quick note before we do. As you know, we've had Alex Bezanson on from time to time. Last time he was on, he had mentioned about the Hug Foundation's upcoming event. They got a viewing party coming up October 13th from 3 p.m. to close at J.P. Ryan's Tavern. That's at 246 Brockton Avenue in Abington. It's your chance to hopefully see the Patriots doing the Saints. I'm kind of on the fence with that one. But admission's $20, includes food. And it's going to a great cause, the Hug Foundation. Be sure to check that out again. I believe this coming Sunday, October 13th. Mark your calendars. Joining us right now, yet another great guest, and she has been patiently holding. She is a state representative, I think, down in the Taunton area, Keiko Oral. Keiko, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening.
I got to thank you for being patient.
Well, I'm happy to be here, and I serve the communities of Lakeville, Middleborough, Berkeley, and Taunton.
I know. So. Taunton is the first thing that popped up in my head. I was going to mention Middleborough, but I didn't want to be erroneous. So.
Well, and I also live in Lakeville, and Berkeley is a great community. So all four of them.
How are things with you?
Things are well, and I can't give you enough kudos to your guest tonight. I think you've had a great show, and I think that there has been some interesting points brought up by the guests, some I would take issue with, especially with the last guest that you had. But I'm doing well. I've been in the legislature for 2 years, and I really enjoy this position, being an advocate for my district.
Yeah, and you were recently recognized, were you not?
Recognized as a...
It was somewhere that had recognized you for your role in your district and you're not only being a party member, but as I forgot where I saw it, but I saw that you were recognized for your work in your district in that regard, and it was somewhere here locally that you were recognized. You might have even been in one of the newspapers.
Well, I appreciate that, and I have been working very hard. I know that there's been some interest in my super rare minority status, and that's because I'm a Republican in a blue state, a woman in a male-dominated field, and I'm the first Asian woman in the House of Representatives.
Okay.
So,
I wasn't sure what the exact. I know there was a lot of details to it, but I had seen it, and I wanted to make sure we had recognized that before we had moved forward. Probably, I thought. The top topic that you and I could talk about, and I don't want to forget my co-host, Joe Rossi, who is here as well, but there's a big vote coming up on Wednesday. At least I think it's a big vote for something that I think a lot of people, especially in the East Taunton area, have been kind of passionate about, and that is the compact with the Mashpee Wampanoag tribe that is, I believe, going to be before the legislature. Is that correct?
It is. It's coming before the House on Wednesday, and the people in East Taunton have been very active in their opposition to the tribal casino that is slated for the East Taunton area. The whole of Taunton did approve it in a referendum, but the community that I represent, East Taunton, in 3B, they in general have opposed the tribal casino. So the vote coming up on Wednesday is about a tribal compact with this tribe and the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. And 15 months ago, we were here looking at the first compact. And 15 months ago, I stood on the floor of the House, and I said I didn't think it would be approved at the federal level. And it was clear to me that there were issues within the compact that would cause trouble at the federal level.
Right.
And that proved to be the case. And I, again, am going to offer opposition to the tribal compact on Wednesday.
Is there, I've had the chance to, from time to time, be on one of your favorite radio stations down in Taunton, I believe.
Yes.
You're a regular guest with Mr. Bob Folsick. You're a regular guest on his show, are you not?
I am, yes.
I believe that is there not still an issue in regards to land and trust and as far as some things the tribe still hasn't fulfilled?
There are significant challenges that the tribe needs to overcome at the federal level, and they do not have a completed application. They need to, they need to have a number of things in place before they can get their land into trust. So that's where I have a lot of trouble with this moving forward, because I don't see how the hurdles can be overcome. In Middleborough, this tribe also tried to open a casino, and that was about 6 years ago, and they were not successful in overcoming the hurdles at the federal level.
Representative, if the tribal compact and everything ended up moving forward, fine. Would a casino be something you would like to see in or around your district?
No. No. No, and I'll tell you why. Because I think that we have, we need to focus on jobs, and we need to focus on good economic activity. And I was opposed to the Expanded Gaming Act in November of 2011 because, first of all, I think that we have a number of, we need to be focused on jobs. And clearly, in 2 years, we don't see the jobs from this industry. So I think that we need to be focused on that, and the speed with which this particular industry is moving is not not what we need to see in the Commonwealth. So I also have a lot of trepidation about whether or not we're going to saturate the market, and whether or not this is something that is going to be good for the Commonwealth. So I have a lot of reservations with casinos in general, but particularly with the tribal casino, the mitigation is not there for surrounding communities. The safeguards are not in place that are in place for commercial casinos. The legislature did put forward some safeguards for communities around the casinos and with commercial casinos. And so if there was a commercial casino in my region, in Region C, there are safeguards for the communities. Mm. With a tribal casino, there are not. And so that's where it's very troubling.
I guess I would ask you, have you had a chance to take the temperature of some of your colleagues in the House, or get a sense of where things might stand if it moves to the Senate? Do you have an idea where this tribal vote might go?
Well, I think that, the last casino compact passed 120-32, and I think with the 18-page scathing letter back from the federal government on our first compact, a number of my colleagues did a second take, a second look, and said, oh, maybe I should look more carefully. And so I'm hoping that they will consider what, you know, what we're saying as far as the problems that this particular tribe has in moving forward, and the fact that that this tribe is, it's holding up the economic development in the region, and also with the expanded gaming and the commercial casinos in Regency.
You mean like a tech tax second look? They should take a look at this.
Well, you know, it's funny that you talked about the tech tax, and I heard you say that you were going to sweep it under the rug. I hope it doesn't get swept under the rug, because it is indicative of what is happening on Beacon Hill. And with all due respect to my colleague Garrett Bradley, I think that we needed to do a better job before we passed the legislation. I opposed it from the beginning, and I several votes opposed the tech tax, and I think that my colleagues need to understand how much of a detriment this has been to the small businesses in my community, and the hell that they've had to live through for the past 2 months trying to figure out what is going to be taxed, what is not going to be taxed. Now they're trying to figure out how they have to return the tax that they collected, and it's all unnecessary. And so that's where I think we all of us, everyone, needs to be more careful, vet all of our legislation, listen carefully to both sides. And that brings me to my next point of the fact that we do have a one part, we have two parties, but we have more of one party than the other. What? And I want to see a change in the corner office. We have three people, three main people in the Commonwealth. We have the Speaker of the House, we have the Senate President, and we have the Governor. And right now, we have three people who are in the same party. We need to have two parties represented so we can have the best solutions for the Commonwealth.
Do you see next year as a year that if there's going to be any gains made on the GOP side of things, that next year has to be the year?
Kevin, I am so hopeful. I think we're going to make great gains, and I know that we have a great candidate, Charlie Baker, and I think that some of the contrast between Treasurer Grossman and Charlie Baker were evident to me in the things that were said about small businesses and trying to create an economy or trying to create a climate for small businesses to grow. I think there is a contrast, and we do provide different ways of leading the Commonwealth to a stronger economic future. I think the Republican vision is to reduce regulations on small businesses and lower the tax rates, do what we can to support small businesses, do not do things like paid sick leave, because the companies that I've talked to say that they will have to lay people off. And they're more than happy to work with their employees, and they want to provide for their employees. But the reality is that economically, they're just getting by. People in the Commonwealth are just getting by. And when we in the legislature, and not myself because I don't vote for it, but when the tax package comes down and it hits the middle class, it hits the working class people, that's where we have to do things differently. We have the opportunity in 2014.
And I mean, the other thing I'm pretty sure that you're hoping for is some decent ballot questions. And I think probably one of the ones that will be at the top of it, if it gets the signatures and gets approved, is to do something about to repeal, to tank the gas tax. Isn't that a self-escalating gas tax that the House or the Senate never has to vote on again?
It's a forever gas tax. Mm. And again, it's something that will hit working people. And working people have to put gas in their tank, and we have to buy food, and we have to... It's going to affect the cost of everything in the Commonwealth. And so the cost of living is already high here, and we need to do what we can to make sure that at least we're having a vote on these taxes. And I believe that we, in the Republican Party, put forward a plan to address the transportation needs, which I fully understand and believe that government needs to have a role in. We put forward a plan that would address those needs without raising taxes. Again, that solution was not fully vetted. And that's why we need a two-party system. We need a strong two-party system to make sure that the Commonwealth taxpayers are getting the best bang for their buck.
I would think that the citizens, at least the business folks, would have learned something in regards to the tech tax. It took a movement of a lot of community leaders, business leaders, industry leaders to make a push on their lawmakers to say, hey, this isn't good for this industry. And it was from one end of the state to the other, in order to finally get it repealed, because everybody's like, oh no, people are mad about this. We should do something. But initially it was like, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. Do you not feel that
well, again,
hopefully we need to learn from our mistakes?
I do. And I'm hopeful that my colleagues will learn from their mistakes, and I'm hopeful that they'll learn from their mistakes with the first compact. Mm. I'm hopeful that they'll reject the second compact. I'm hopeful that they will repeal the gas tax. I'm hopeful they'll repeal the cigarette tax. I think that's a wrongful tax. It's a targeted tax where it's unfairly being put on people. It has nothing to do with transportation. Mm. And I think that we need to repeal all of the taxes. And we can move forward, and you heard the treasurer say that we have the third largest rainy day fund. And I'm glad that we have low interest rates and that we have, you know, our highest bond rating. And I think that we need to use some of that money, and we need to focus on helping the people in the Commonwealth, helping our businesses get stronger so that we can continue to create more jobs so that my kids, my college kids, can have a job when they graduate and they can stay here in this state and they can afford rent and they can afford to put gas in their tank.
Well, I think the two things that need to be done and need to be, I think, a top focus, and along with education, along with jobs, I think local aid, and I think as far as unfunded mandates that are put on communities, I think
absolutely,
those are two things that need to be addressed and taken a look at, and need to be issues that are out there, whether it's somebody running for governor or somebody running for state rep or running for state senate. That has to be a conversation that you know is put forth in front and center. I would imagine that you're going to be looking to be reelected. When do you kick off? When do you get out there and start letting folks know that, hey, you want to be reelected in 2014?
I'm going to be having an event in mid-November. I haven't released the details of that yet, but I am going to be running again, and I'm very happy with representing and being a public servant, and I think that people want people who are trying to work hard, and I'm working hard. I'm being an advocate, and that's where, I think where government, I mean, if we're working hard, people don't have a problem with you. But I think that when we're not doing our jobs, when we're not looking at the legislation, when we're not changing the way we do business, I was at an MMA meeting recently, and we're talking about the fact that municipalities across the Commonwealth can't do their budgets because the numbers don't come back from the state in time. And I think that is terrible. And I think that with the proper leadership, we could change that. And we could change the whole time frame for when the cities and towns get their local aid numbers so that they can do their budget.
Correct.
A lot of these small towns, it's all volunteer or small stipend. People are trying to do the best for their communities, and we in the state need to help them. And we can do that. We put forward ideas about, you know, making sure that we have the budget ready to go by March 15th so that we can get the numbers back to the local community.
If folks want to find out more about what you're working on or as far as if you have a campaign website or just, you know what, your district website, how can they find out more?
VoteOral.com.
Well, we definitely want to have you back.
Two R's, two L's.
Okay.
So it's voteoral.com.
Well, we definitely want to have you back on.
Great.
So keep it in mind, and I'll be in touch with your people and probably have you back on maybe the next 6 or 7 weeks.
I would love to.
Awesome.
I would love to. Have a great day.
You got it. Thanks. State Representative Keiko Oral joining us. We are going to step aside, Joe, and when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.